Morning. The reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 to 18, which is on page 1160. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Barnaby. I'm actually just quite relieved that my glasses are here, because talking about having your eyes on eternity, I wouldn't be able to see anything. It would have been a very short talk. Let's just pray together. Father, we praise you that you have joy waiting for us, that we are heading for joy like we've never known, and that our eternal destination is so wonderful. And we thank you that you're inviting us this morning to draw close to you. So, Father, we welcome your presence. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would be moving in this church this morning. Amen. I wonder, do you live with your eyes on eternity? I was driving back from the park with our dog this week, and I was driving down King's Road from the park, and I just had a sudden moment of feeling, I am so grateful I am a British citizen. I didn't do anything to become a British citizen. I was just born. And what a privilege it is when there are thousands of people, just desperate refugees, who would do anything to become a British citizen. But as I thought that, I've been thinking around, I've had a wonderful time thinking about eternity, I thought, I'm actually a citizen of heaven. And again, I didn't do anything to deserve it. But isn't that amazing? We're citizens of heaven with an eternal destination. And if we could just have our first slide up. Thanks, Will. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, God has set eternity in our hearts. We're made for more. And I think we know it, but we do really quickly forget it. I don't know if you're the same as me. I just get caught up with the stuff of life, and I forget what I'm made for. And if eternity is singing in our hearts, we drown it out by turning up the television and running round, and we forget what we're actually made for. C.S. Lewis said, anything which isn't eternal is eternally out of date. In other words, what matters is what lasts. Anything which isn't eternal is eternally out of date. And I am realizing that my life is going quite quickly. I hit half a century last year. Life goes past really fast, and then we crumble into dust. We need to have our eyes on what matters, on eternity. And to do this, we have to be quite countercultural. And we're talking, our focus this year as a church is on living for Jesus. And I want to tell you that living for Jesus means living for eternity. Because we live in a very material, materialistic, time-driven age. And we spend our time looking at our clocks rather than eternity. And I loved Anchors. We hadn't talked together, but I really loved what Anchor did for our confession. Just raise a hand if at any point this week you have felt under time pressure. Oh, just a few of us. Any of you who haven't been, you can just let the rest of us know how you did that. But that is our culture, isn't it? Ellie was saying to me a while ago that she's in a book club. And one of the things that they often seem to end up talking about is the clock ticking. For women, and increasingly men, we feel the fight against aging. In fact, I saw a couple of weeks ago in the Times, there was a whole double sort of a spread on how to age well. And there were all sorts of things you could do, apparently. I had a bit of a watershed moment in one of my recent speaking engagements, because quite often I'm given some flowers or something after I've spoken somewhere. And for the first time, I was given a pot of sort of, you know, a little bag with various toiletries in it, which included some anti-aging, anti-wrinkle cream. And I kind of thought, I don't know quite how I take this. And one of the things of moisturiser promised me improved elasticity and firmness for challenging areas. I just won't say anything else. Now, we are called to live for Jesus with an eye for eternity. And I want to tell you that if we do, it will change how we live. And Paul in our reading is so helpful in telling us how we are those who live for eternity. He says, we have treasure in jars of clay. Now, what does he mean? Well, if you were to go into a house in the ancient Near East at the time of Paul, you would see loads of clay pots around, and they look really worthless, and they weren't worth much. They don't last long because they crack really easily. And Paul says, that's you and me. We don't last that long, and we crack really easily, or crack up really easily. But what if you went into that house, and one of those apparently worthless clay pots was filled with priceless diamonds? What if it contained treasure? That's what God says we're like. You might just have a little look at the person next to you. They might not look like much, but they contain such treasure. So what is the treasure? Well, Paul says it's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I think that might be our next PowerPoint. Yeah. The treasure is God's face shining on you in Jesus. And it's one of the things I just really have loved writing about in my book, that when the Bible speaks of God's face shining on us, commentators say that's God smiling on us. It's his sheer delight because he loves you so much. It's what Jesus came to declare, the favor of God. And I don't know if you know that this morning, but God's favor is on us because of Jesus, because he's taken all of our sins. And that means that although we don't deserve it, he's smiling on you with such love and delight. He's so pleased that you would come this Sunday morning to meet with him. And you might have thought that he's a bit grumpy with you, but as soon as you turn around and come to him, he does what he always does, and he runs to meet us. And it changes us when we begin to grasp the height and depth and breadth and length of the love of God for us in Christ Jesus. The treasure is the love of God for you. But for some of us, honestly, our eyes are on the pot, on the clay jar, and you have no idea how much that limits you. And it will actually come as a great relief when you begin to take in that it actually isn't all about you. If you begin to stop thinking about the pot and you focus on the treasure, it will change your life. And Paul got this. He kind of knew he was just a clay jar, and you can sense his relief in verse 7 because he says, this shows that the great power is from God. It's not from us. And so often we disqualify ourselves from being used by God. And we've been talking about this a bit in Oasis and seeing there's so many ways we can disqualify ourselves. We go, I've messed up. I've got a bit of a sinful past. I'm not very educated. I'm not very clever. I just can't do this. But God is into clay pots. He used David, who was too young. He used Gideon, who was from the wrong family. He used Rahab, who was a prostitute. He used Peter, who was uneducated. I mean, I could go on and on. God really picks the people who look like they're not going to be up to much. God puts his treasure in jars of clay. And if you love him and know him and have given your life to him today, then you carry eternal treasure. But our problem is that we are so obsessed with the pots that we miss the treasure. And you know what? We do not want to lose the eternal treasure for the sake of what will fall into dust. There's a wonderful, one of my favourite accounts in the Old Testament is that of Jacob and Esau. And when they are two brothers, and when we're first introduced, Jacob, basically it comes out, is described as a grasping, cheating individual. His name means grasper. So, you know, it's not great, really. He is, you know, one of his virtues is he's quite a talented cook. He would have won Bake Off, but he is basically a bit of a slime ball. And he's so low that he cooks up a stew and offers to trade it with his brother for their father's blessing. And actually, although Jacob gets so much wrong, he turns out to be the one who really gets it right, because he realizes that the blessing of God is what matters more than anything else. And Jacob becomes Israel. He gets a new name and he becomes the father of the whole Jewish nation because he picks the treasure instead of the pot. He sees what really matters. Esau picked the pot of stew over the blessing. He was more interested in this clay jar than God's shining face. And Esau threw away a timeless future for a temporary present. Now, I don't know about you, you might hear that and go, well, I would never do that. But actually, don't people do that all the time? Don't we do that all the time? People throw away the treasure of God's shining face for an instant buzz, for an affair, for stuff, for the perfect home, for a driven life. I wonder, what are you focusing on? The clay pot or the treasure? Because if you are, for example, overwhelmed by worry, you are probably focusing on the clay jar. Paul says, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our eyes on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Now, I want to just say here, that is not to say that God doesn't care about the things that worry you today. He's your heavenly Father, and we're told he really cares about the details of our lives. He says that, you know, the lilies of the field, you know, I know that they are, I know you care about, you need stuff to wear, and And if you're worried about that, look at the lilies of the field. I clothe them. He knows about the little details, and he's so longing for us to bring him the things that worry us and concern us. But he wants you to have an eternal perspective. And that's what Paul had. So he was able to say that these light momentary troubles, and you know, his were things like facing being murdered by the Roman government, his light momentary troubles, they're not worth looking at compared to the weight of eternal glory. So if you imagine a pair of scales, he's saying, just catch a glimpse of the weightiness of the glory and joy that God has for you. Because when we get an eternal perspective, it really does change how we live, because we begin to see God chose me. He's the Alpha. He had a plan for me from the beginning of time. He's loved you from the start, from before creation began. He's your beginning. And he's your end. He's where you're heading forever. Joy forever. We're told everlasting joy is going to crown us forever. So if God's got your beginning and God has your end, do you think you could dare to trust him with the middle? I was swimming last week, just absolutely love our open air pool, and I came out and started chatting with somebody I'd never met in the changing room. And she said to me, it was almost like one of the first things she said, she said, wasn't that just lovely swimming outside? And I said, yeah, it was amazing. She said, so lovely to do that when just the world is so desperate, it's in such a mess. And I said, oh, has something happened today? And she said, no, I mean, Brexit. It's just terrible. It's just the state of our world. And we talked about it a bit more. And I came home to look at this, to read Paul, who lived in the most turbulent times and yet was able to trust. Nero was emperor and was burning Christians as torches for his entertainment. And Paul says, we have troubles all around us, but we are not defeated. We don't know what to do, but we don't give up. We are persecuted, but God doesn't leave us. Now, again, you know, it's important we care about politics, but we need a bigger view of God's eternal kingdom. We need courage to believe that actually we can bring change in our culture and society. I mean, Paul could have looked at what was going on in Rome and gone, you know, the church was so small. How could this puny little group of Christians do anything against the power and might of the Roman Empire? But actually, Paul had grasped a view of an eternal kingdom that would not shake. He saw, as Daniel saw in the Old Testament, Daniel saw a vision of a statue. And at the time of Daniel, Babylon looked like an empire that would never fall. And yet Daniel saw that every single empire would fall apart from the rock that is God. And Babylon fell, and Greece fell, and Rome fell, and the great power of the British Empire fell. And every empire will fall apart from God's eternal kingdom. And so we need to have an eternal view. Johnny works for CSW, which is a group providing advocacy for human rights for those struggling with religious freedom. And I don't know if you know this, but in the last 5 years, there have been unprecedented numbers of Christians murdered. Currently, they reckon there are about 70,000 Christians in concentration camps in North Korea. And one of the stories Johnny told me, and maybe we could just have the next picture up, Will. Oh, not that one, next one. Oh, have we missed one? And the next one? There we go. Helen Bahani is a gospel singer from Eritrea who was kept in a shipping container for 32 months, freezing cold at night, tortured by day. Helen chose worship. And she kept in the midst of it singing the song of eternity and telling others about Jesus. If she can, we can. We are called to live for Jesus, and that means not living for this world. And you know what? It's very easy to just kind of lose sight of the eternal goal and set really temporary goals. I think probably we all do it. Ellie gave a really fantastic talk that I'd commend to you a few weeks ago in the evening service. And she talked about how she'd gone to the new Games Cafe in Richmond. Anybody else been there? Just Ellie. You can all go now. And apparently she played the game of life. So if we can hop back, I've obviously got my slides. Here we go. Fantastic. Who's played the game of life? Yeah, quite a few people have played the game of life. And it is a bit of an extraordinary game, to be honest, because as far as we can work out, the goal is just to get a lot of money. So it's a bit of a sad thing. And you throw a dice and you get a baby. It's a weird game. And actually, God wants us to have a far bigger goal. I just look around at people and think there are so many people caught up with goals that are not God's goals. We can have our car on the stairs now, Will. You might have seen this a couple of weeks ago, a 91-year-old woman set her sat-nav for Tesco, and it didn't all quite go to plan, and she ended up beached on the stairs because the sat-nav was faulty. And we need to recognize that the sat-nav of our culture is faulty. The sat-nav of our culture says, get a job, get a house, get married, get kids, try to forget that eventually I will get dead. We are not to live for the world's goals. We are soon going to meet Jesus. Paul says in verse 14 of our reading, God will bring us together with you, and we will stand before him. That's our destiny. Some of you may have seen this image. It's one I love, and I'm going to do it without apology again, from Francis Chan. Could I have some volunteers? Any volunteers for me? Trevor? Let's have one more. Chyla? My friend Chyla. Okay, just give me a stretch out the rope, one end each. Okay, thank you. All right, so we think, if you just stay there for a minute, don't go away. We think, if you can imagine this little length up to the microphone, we reckon this is our life. It's about this long. And perhaps you could just hold it there, Trev. I'm really not going to do a magic trick, honestly. So don't get excited. So we reckon this is our life, say from about here to here. And we're going to work really, really hard in our lives because, you know, we've got to make sure we prepare for our retirement, especially since Theresa May might be threatening our housing. And so we work really, really hard. And, you know, eventually we'll get to here and we'll retire. And then, phew, we can sort of start life and plan the cruises. And, you know, let's work really hard. And here's my pension. Great. That's my life. Actually, I want you to imagine that your life is a rope that, it's about to split. Your life is a rope that goes on and on and on and on. And actually, I want you to imagine that rope going around the world. And actually, I want you to imagine that rope goes around the galaxy and around the universe. Because actually, our lives are infinite. And your bit of life on Earth is about half a millimeter. Now, are you going to invest in this bit of life, or are you going to invest in the eternity that is to come ahead of you, which I promise doesn't look frayed? Thanks, Chyla. Thanks, Trev. Because God is calling us to be those who live with eternity in our minds, which means we don't want to make our goal simply to get more money in our bank account here. What are you going to invest in that is going to last forever? And I just want to make really clear that investing in eternity isn't sitting back here waiting for pie in the sky when you die. It's about investing here in what is going to last forever. I went to my uncle's funeral a couple of months ago, and there was just a couple of things that were said in it that really deeply made quite an impression on me. And he, when he finished university, he got a special sort of scholarship to go off to Stanford. And after that, he came back here and he wrote in his journal, "I want to plow back into the big wide field all that I have been given." And I thought, what a great way to live. Imagine we all did that. And he decided to live with a view to eternity. And he did that by making his law firm a place of great integrity and a place where people were cared for. And he was really renowned for his kindness, that he would be somebody who would take time and talk to anybody. He became chairman of Moorfields, and he stood up against the government of the time to fight for the rights of the hospital in Palestine, and lost an honour as a result of it. Because he set himself to bring God's kingdom of righteousness and joy and peace into his workplace. And I wonder how you can do that into your workplace and into your family. And, you know, I really believe if we see the long view, we will begin to be unafraid to take some risks. So often, I look round and the church has been silenced in our culture. And we're more silent than Helen Bahani is in Eritrea, where she knows the cost. In verse 13 of our reading, Paul says, "It's written in the scriptures, I believed, so I spoke." Our faith is like this. We believe and we speak. And when we see eternity, we will not be silent Christians. So what about you? How will you invest in eternity? And I really love it that God makes us so different. So it's going to be really different for everybody here. God will have different dreams and visions for different people here. And of course, we're all called to live with an eternal view with our neighbours and our families. But what about your workplace? What about perhaps a dream God will give you to do at church here? You know, it was so exciting seeing Who Lets the Dads Out happen here, or seeing LVA happen, seeing God just bringing visions and dreams. Roz Ambrose starting that lunch all those years ago for the homeless. And, you know, it will be different for all of us. And no, not one person here should disqualify yourself from God's exciting eternal plans for you. I love it that Sue Martin has been out on the streets with Trevor at over 80 praying. Isn't that wonderful? I think Paul, the Apostle Paul, would really approve, because he says this, "So we don't give up. Our physical body is becoming older and weaker, but our spirit inside us is made new every day." We are called to live as those whose eyes are on the eternal. You know, everybody here, God wants your life to have eternal significance. And for me, I can think of many things in my life that have brought me enormous joy. But actually, I think the thing that brings me most joy is when I get the privilege of introducing somebody to Jesus. It's just the very best thing of all. And we all get to play a part in that, to be, we're all always, aren't we, just a link in a chain. But it is a chain that brings precious people to eternity. What a goal for your sat-nav. God is wanting you to have eternal significance. And whatever your, you know, the other stuff in your life is, and I'm sure there are people here facing lots of things that God wants you to bring to him. Would you dare to bring him the bigger picture and say this morning, Lord, I really want my life to count for eternity? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you gave your life to have us for eternity, that you've set eternity in our hearts. And Lord, we want to be those who invest for eternity, to live our lives with our eyes on you and on what's eternal, what matters. We want to be those, Lord, who live lives of eternal significance. I pray, Jesus, that if we just need new lens this morning, if we need a new way of seeing, would you do that? Lord, lift our eyes up from all the stuff that consumes us. And may we live with our eyes on the treasure and not on the clay jar. And I thank you, Lord, that you stand before each of us and you have such exciting opportunities for us. You have such exciting things for us to do. And I want to pray that you'd stir our hearts, that we begin to dare to believe that you would choose each one of us for your eternal purposes. Thank you for each person here, Lord, for the deep love you have for each one. And today we offer you our lives. Maybe it's for the very first time. Maybe it's time to come back to God again and say, I'm not going to live my life with my head down anymore. And we praise you, Lord, that we can be those who live our eyes with a vision of the weight of glory that is ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.